Hello and welcome to this first message of the 2021 year. The message this morning I am calling your wake-up call. I don't know about you, but at the start of every morning, I more often than not need to give Jill a wake-up call in order to raise her from her sleep and from her slumber. And 2020 was a year, I believe, where things slowed down. We couldn't do the normal things or the things that we were used to doing. And I think 2020 was a year where perhaps some of us may have fallen into a spiritual sleep, a spiritual slumber. And as we go into 2021, we can look forward to 2021 with a renewed sense of hope and enthusiasm. But we need a wake-up call. And so go with me, if you would, into 1 Kings chapter 20, and we're going to read through from verses 35 to verse 43. A certain man of the sons of the prophets said to his fellow at the command of the Lord, "Strike me, please." But the man refused to strike him. Then he said to him, "Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as you have gone from me, a lion shall strike you down." And as soon as he had departed from him, a lion met him and struck him down. Then he found another man and said, "Strike me, please." And the man struck him and wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, disguising himself with a bandage over his eyes. And as the king passed, he cried to the king and said, "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a soldier turned and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.' And as your servant was busy here and there, he was gone. The king of Israel said to him, 'So shall your judgment be. You yourself have decided it.' Then he hurried to take the bandage away from his eyes, and the king of Israel recognized him as one of the prophets. And he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have let go out of your hand the man whom I had devoted to destruction, therefore your life shall be for his life, and your people for his people.' And the king of Israel went to his house vexed and sullen, and came to Samaria."
The account we have just read finds us in a scene with a soldier standing before the king, before King Ahab. The soldier is clearly battle-worn. He has a bandage around his head. His eye is swollen, and again, a bandage over his bloodied eye. And he stands before the king, and he says this in verse 39. "Your servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a soldier turned and brought a man to me and said, 'Guard this man. If by any means he is missing, your life shall be for his life, or else you shall pay a talent of silver.'" From the man's own mouth, it became evident that the king had failed to do one thing, the one thing he had been tasked to do. Again, you know, perhaps we have people in our own lives where, you know, we've said from them time to time, you know, "You had one thing to do, just one." And King Ahab was no different. He had been tasked with one thing to do. He was told that in the midst of the battle, you have one job to do. That is to take a prisoner. That was Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria at the time. Take him prisoner, guard him, and watch him. In the King James Version, it says to keep this man. In fact, Ahab was told that if you allow him to get away, you will forfeit your life. Your life will be required. Or you can pay a talent of silver. But we need to understand that a talent of silver is way beyond the natural means of an ordinary soldier. And so in effect, to say you will be paying a talent of silver is to be putting something that is totally impossible to achieve in front of the individual. So in other words, the only option was that if you lose this man, if you fail to do this one job, you will forfeit your life. And the prophet, because we know, if you read earlier on, you know that in fact the man standing before the king was actually a prophet. The prophet told the story in order that it might act as a spiritual mirror to Ahab, that he would realize that actually I'm the man in the story. I'm the man who was supposed to watch and keep guard. This story is about me. Of course, as we read the scripture, there is a historical context and significance between King Ahab and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria. But that isn't, at this point, the most important point of the story. It isn't the most important issue. The bigger picture, I think, for us is, what does it say to me and what does it say to you? You see, the Bible always has to have a personal context. When we read the Bible, we always have to interrogate the text and ask God by His Holy Spirit, what is this saying to me? The story as it was told is meant to hit us hard. It's meant to see that we too, like Ahab, have an assignment. So I want us, like the man in the story, like Ahab, I want us to insert ourselves, to put ourselves into the story. You see, it's very easy, I believe, to read the Bible and think, well, it was great for the likes of Peter. It was even great for people like Esther. And it was absolutely amazing for David. We can think, what inspiring stories. But when we read the scripture, when we read the Bible, we're not meant to think, no, it's for someone else. We are meant to think, how does this apply to me? We're meant to think that this isn't just about them, but actually we need to be expectant that God wants to say something to us. And the question that God is always asking us is, what are we going to do with that which we have been given? I want us today to see ourselves in the story about a man who was given something to watch over, given charge over someone. And, you know, we can look at the story, we can look at the account, and we say, yeah, I understand it. I can see how that applies to me, Ian. You know, you're saying that one day we're going to die and one day we're going to stand before God, before Jesus, because if we apply it to our own lives, that's who he is. So one day we're going to stand before God, and we, like the soldier, are going to have to give an account for that which we have been given charge over. We're going to have to answer to him. But even understanding that, we may ask ourselves, but what have we been given charge over? What have we been called to watch, to guard, to keep? The answer, I think, to that is the thing that we are meant to keep watch over, keep charge of and guard, is we are meant to babysit or look after the most difficult individual on the entire planet. And no, I'm not talking about your husband. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm not talking about your children or even someone that you might work with. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you. The person on this planet that is most suited to deceit is you. The person on this planet most capable of harming and hindering the plans and purposes of God for our life is us. It's you. And you and I, in fact, are able to be like no one else. We are, at times, our own worst enemy. The Bible, from the beginning to end, warns us about how important it is that we watch ourselves, that we guard ourselves, that we keep ourselves. You see, we are the soldier who is meant to guard the other soldier. Only the other soldier is not someone else, it's us. We're meant to guard ourselves. And it's evident from the fact that if we don't guard ourselves and keep watch of ourselves, if we don't do what we are meant to be doing, we will forfeit our lives. In other words, we won't end up living the life that God has ordained and planned and purposed for us, because our life will be snatched away from us whilst we are not paying attention. In verse 40, it says this of the soldier, whilst I was busy here and there. And that's the most embarrassing part of the story, I think. It wasn't that the man was a bad man, it's simply that he was busy. He was here and there. He was doing this and that, but he wasn't doing the thing that he was supposed to be doing, keeping watch, keeping guard. When the prophet stood before the king and relayed or told the story, I'm sure at some point the king must have thought to himself, when did the man get away? How did he get away? I'm sure he may not have been thinking this, but you know, perhaps he could have been thinking, well, how did he get away? Was it that someone sent him a cake with a nail file baked into it? Or maybe it could have been a prison break type scenario where someone had got the plans of the prison or whatever tattooed over their body. The king must have been thinking, how did he get away? What happened to him? You see, the thing is, it is possible that whilst we are doing other things, whilst we allow ourselves to be distracted from what God has called us to, our life gets away from us. We stop becoming and stop moving towards becoming who God has planned and purposed us to be. It's like water slipping away through our spiritual fingers, if you like. We don't become the version of the person we are meant to be, the version that we were meant to become, the version that Jesus sees and knows that we are capable of being. We don't become the person that we are meant to grow up to be in Christ Jesus. You see, we are meant to guard ourselves. We are meant to watch ourselves, to supervise ourselves, in order that the life that God has planned for us doesn't slip by and escape from us. That it doesn't slip through our fingers. That we don't end up being immature believers. That we don't end up being selfish and self-centered. We don't have a small-minded mentality, unable to believe God for the seemingly impossible. We don't end up just mollycoddling ourselves spiritually so that we never become who we were meant to become. God intends us to rise up and to grow up in strength and power. That's what God has planned for us. And this, friends, is our wake-up call. You are called by God to guard yourselves in order that you become the version that he plans and purposes for you. 2020 may have robbed you of some of that, but 2021 offers and affords us a fresh opportunity to become who God plans and purposes us to be. But we must guard ourselves. We must watch ourselves. I think Jesus himself was saying this when he told us that it's very easy to chase after the things of the world and then as a result of that lose yourself. We read that in Matthew 26:16. The Message translation puts it like this: what kind of deal is it to get everything you want but lose yourself? To lose your true self, to lose and the hold of yourself and let yourself get away, I think is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 16. He was talking about the same thing that we have just read or recently read in 1 Kings chapter 20. You see, we're not meant to be distracted from the things of God. We're not meant to be so busy going here and there, doing this and that, so that we allow those things to slip away from us. We are meant to guard ourselves so that we grow up and become the version of ourselves that we are meant to become. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. You see, there's no area quite like the heart that is able to control or determine the outcome of our lives. And this is why God says that we have to guard it. Jude, in his letter in the New Testament, in verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And again, Jeremiah, he warns us with the same thing when he says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Friends, we have to guard our hearts. We have to guard our spirits. We have to guard our devotions. And I know that 2020 has not been a good year, has not been a kind year to a lot of people. Some people, there are going to be casualties. Some people have not guarded their personal devotional life, and there are going to be casualties. Friends, we have to choose to do the hard things. We know it's hard when there isn't someone in a pulpit encouraging you and helping you to walk, have a consistent walk with Jesus. I know it's hard, but friends, we have to be prepared to do the hard things, to watch over ourselves, to keep checking ourselves, to ask ourselves, how am I doing? How am I doing? Am I getting better? Am I staying the same? Am I coasting or am I fighting? Am I advancing or becoming kinder? Am I becoming more patient? Am I becoming less critical and more of an encourager? How am I doing? We need to guard and to check ourselves in order that we become the version that God plans and purposes us to be. Friends, we have to be actively involved. We have to be vigilantly involved, because the instruction that the soldier gave was to guard this man. That isn't a passive action. That's active. You can't guard someone only a little. You can't guard someone most of the time. You've got to be vigilant and guard them and keep watch all the time. And that's what God is saying to King Ahab through the prophet. And I believe it's what God wants to say to us at the start of this year, friends. Guard ourselves. Keep watch. Don't allow the version of ourselves that God plans and purposes us to be to slip away and to get away from us. Church, we need to wake up. This is your wake-up call. We have one life, and if we are not careful, it will soon be gone. One of the things that I'm sure we all realize and recognize is that the older we get, we realize how short and fragile life is. And only those things done in Christ will last for eternity. And so we have one thing to do: to keep God, to watch over, to take charge of this man that is us. So friends, in 2021, let me encourage you. Don't let it be like 2020, where we just nonchalantly let things slip by. But let's be active, let's be vigilant, and let's be determined that in 2021 we'll become closer to being the person that God intends us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen.